Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I'm going to try not to knock over anything into the water here. I'm in Chestertown. We're outside. I tried to set up outside in Ocean City on day five, and Mother Nature did not allow it. But
it's always beautiful in Chestertown. Anytime you want to just have a perfect anything, come to Chestertown.
All right, so I'm here to meet Heather Mazier. She's running for office. We'll get to all that. I'm here to eat a crab cake with Chris Golder. We're at 98 Cannon. We're in Chestertown. And I just want to say this. My whole life I've heard about this place. Never been here. I was a little late, a little sweaty getting in. I came over this bridge. And I've always heard, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be beautiful. And when I pulled in, I thought, you know, I'm going to begin the show today with Heather. I'm going to say, yep. It's beautiful. Here I am. You know, here we are. And I went through the little town and figured it out a little bit, saw a coffee shop or whatever. But every one of these places I'm not bringing my wife, part of the tour was, it's an hour away. It's just over the bridge. We can come. You don't have to go over the bridge. You can go around.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are.
You can come both ways.
When's the first time you came here and said, I want to live here? Because you're not from around here.
Oh my gosh, this is an amazing story because my wife and I came here in 2005.
Is that before or after you ran? When did you run?
I was on city council in Tacoma Park in 2003 to 2005. And then in 2006, I ran for the state.
Okay, that's when I saw like the city paper stories on you started to get you on the radar in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Okay.
When I was running for governor in 2014.
14
yeah,
was your governor year.
When I was
they
on the front
together.
Cover of that.
Okay, 14.
Paper.
That's the year I voted for you.
Our Chestertown story is that we came here to meet friends for a weekend who had a place and had been saying the same thing. You got to come to Chestertown.
And when
oh my
you
God.
Look at it on the
it's
map,
beautiful.
You're like,
it's amazing.
It's not a place you go through, it's a place you go to.
It's a destination point for sure.
Yeah.
And we came here to visit them. And I immediately fell in love because it's very similar to where I grew up. Although, actually, that's not fair. I grew up in rural Illinois where there's only corn, soy, and bean fields. We did not have...
You had to drive someplace to find a bridge.
there was no water, no colonial history. We crossed this bridge to come into Chestertown. We had lunch with some friends of ours. A crab cake, as a matter of fact, over
of
at Kitty Hawk.
Of course.
Up the road.
Crab cakes bring people together, Heather Mazier.
They do. Well, because we are always in search for the perfect crab cake. And we've got some great, great contenders here in Kent County. But the very first weekend we came to visit here, I fell so in love with Chestertown and the feeling of it being so like where I grew up, that we immediately began searching for a second home. And 1 week after our first introduction to Chestertown, we had a winning bid on a small cottage here in town.
My wife and I were sort of met. Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like that. It's like, okay, this is the place.
Exactly. And
how many of the little towns have you been to over here? Any of them?
Well, of course. We love the Eastern Shore. We'd been visiting and coming over to the shore for a long time, but mostly towards the Route 50. Way. And
I've told everyone I was always in a hurry to get there, whether I was 8 years old and a kid, whether I was 16 years old chasing girls, whether I was 25 years old and angry about traffic and paid a lot and just wanted to get, you know, you're always in a hurry, right?
Yeah, well,
go to the bathroom and pick something up, but you're like, gotta get there.
At the 5301 split, when you're focused on either getting to Ocean City or Lewis or Rehoboth, you don't even know necessarily what's over here on the 301 side. And
it's been such a beautiful drive. It really
Centerville, you went through Centerville to get here. Well, you came from Salisbury today.
I did.
Though,
so I came
you?
Through Easton.
So
I spent the morning in Cambridge learning about this water and the crab cakes we're eating and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And this had to be on my... I put a bucket list of places in Maryland I've never been. Mm-hmm. I've been all over the world, mm-hmm. but I've never been here, and it's an hour from home, and I'm embarrassed.
Yeah. Well, you get to bring your wife back, because over our shoulder, have you seen the schooner Sultana sitting there?
Yeah, well, Chris was telling me about it. Is it a skipjack? Is it a clipper?
It's a schooner.
It's a schooner, and mm-hmm. it's modern built, but looks...
It was built in 2001, but it's a replica of a 1767 British ship that was monitoring for the tea taxes along these waterways.
And was built right
and
here, right?
It was built here with a really great story. Chestertown did not want big box stores coming in, and there was a proposal to bring a few big box stores into this area, and the community came together and said, what's an alternative form of economic development that we can create that is unique to who we are and will bring in the resources and the tourists. And so the Sultana Project was birthed.
Sultana. All right,
Sultana.
So folks can Google that.
And the Sultana Project was born, and there's a mill up right up Cannon, the corner of Cannon and Mill. There is a mill where the ship was built. It was completed in 2001. They even have trundles, like tree nails, holding it together. It's built closest to any kind of replica because this particular ship had more historical data in crew logs and various materials that have been found on exactly how it was built, so it was able to be replicated. And now it's a floating classroom on the Chester River. Children, school programs, nonprofit groups.
Living Classrooms does that in Baltimore all the time. You know, so like taking people out and. We are so blessed with water. You grew up in a cornfield. You know?
Exactly.
Look
exactly.
How it turned out.
Exactly. Well, and there's nothing like being on the Chester River, and it's just a beautiful opportunity to be in touch with some of what makes this area so uniquely beautiful and precious for everyone who is blessed to live around
here. Well, I'm 100 yards away from it. It does look like it's from the 1700s, so I'm going to have to probably get closer to it and get out on the pier and figure it out.
And when you ride on it, it has a cannon that explodes that is very impressive.
How loud is that? Should I move?
It's holding your ears worthy.
I'm on the record as being very anti-cannon in Baltimore because I live at the harbor for 18 years and it goes off and it scares the hell out of everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, that's not a sound we should be making after 2001. Heather Mazier is here. We're at 98 Cannon. I was calling it Cannons because I had like the, speaking of cannon sounds, right, in the harbor. And part of this tour, we're going to get to the crab cake. Chris is going to come out. We're going to do all that. You're a little different than some of my candidates because you're running for office. I've had a couple people that have already won their offices. I had Mayor Jake Day on. I had Rick Meehan on Ocean City. I'm going to be with some former officials and Donna Edwards having a crab cake. Communities and coming together and getting voted on and left and right and blue. What's Chestertown like? I mean, when I Google it up, politically lately, the water, obviously an issue, right? But obviously, right and left in Baltimore, one of the things I say is people in Baltimore should want to come to Chestertown. People in Chestertown should want to come to Baltimore. Mm-hmm. We're all in it together here. Ocean City was even worse because, like, when you live in Baltimore, you see the police thing on the boardwalk. You create the opinion in the media or whatever. Then you go to these places, you come to Baltimore, you have these incredibly rich experiences. Chestertown's one of those places that's sort of like never been, don't know a lot about it. History's nice. What's it like today? It lured you and your wife to be here. She looks very happy. I'm happy to be here. My wife's not going to be happy that she's not here.
Well, you get to come back and bring her. And I want to give one more plug to the Tall Ships, because if you don't get to write it while you're here, a really fun time to come back. We have a great community event the last weekend in October, sometimes the first
Chris
weekend
told
in November.
Me all to, come
it's
on,
called
tell me.
Downrigging Weekend. And the Tall Ships, not
Bluegrass,
just
right?
not just the Schooner Sultana, but the Pride of Baltimore, the Kaimar Nickel, all of the big, like, if
and
you will.
Fit in here.
Pirate ships, yes.
Okay.
We have docks for all of them, and they're all set up, and they're lit, and you can take tours, and you can buy tickets.
I heard there's music.
There's a town festival, and music, and food, and always a good time here in Chestertown.
What weekend is that? October, something?
Last weekend in October, first weekend in November, usually.
All right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Downrigging.
Pumpkin spice involved in that, probably, as well. So that is the big festival here.
One of, actually.
Okay.
We've had, for years, pre-COVID, we have every May, what we call the Tea Party Festival. It is not political from like what you would consider like the Tea Party wing of the Republican Party. Tea Party Festival is a celebration of our colonial roots. We heard about our ancestors here, heard about the tossing of the tea overboard in Boston way after the fact, and we had our own rebellion here.
They had newspapers like Fred Flintstone.
Yeah, and it's reenacted here for a large community festival.
Is tea served?
No.
Oh, okay.
No,
well, then,
ironically,
right.
Yes.
Yeah, well, they did throw in the harbor.
Every August, we have Legacy Days supporting rich African American culture here in our community. We have a college here that is one of the most amazing four-year institutions in Maryland.
That's
called Washington College.
Yeah, I mean, I've had friends over the years that have, and actually friends that have coached there and, you know, different things. I don't... I'm embarrassed I've never been here. Keep talking. I want to learn. Keep learning more. What else do I need to know about this place?
We have a new marina that was built also from the perspective of wanting to invest in long-term sustainable economic development for the community so that larger yachts like this can come in for the day. We have a gorgeous park here called Wilmer Park, right across the over.
Well, the homes are so beautiful. I mean, I drove today for the first time in my life through Cambridge, like got off of 50. And I went into the town. I was also in Easton today. But I went over to Wise Markets and got some fruit this morning, my sponsor. Thank you, Wise Markets. Another Wise conversation. and the older homes... My wife's going to flip because it looks like New England.
They're all very,
very, very much like small towns.
My farmhouse was built in the 1700s. And
does it have Wi-Fi?
It does now.
Okay,
yes, exactly. Although we don't all have Wi-Fi, and that's why broadband
that's a big issue, right?
Broadband is an important, very important issue.
Let's talk about that because I came in here and I needed my stuff to work, and I'm getting Dennis's show on Thursday. I'm out here enjoying myself. And then, you live in a city, you kind of take Wi-Fi for granted until it goes down. And my wife freaks out because it's how she works. It's how my wife works. It's how I work. It's how child learns. It's how our teachers teach.
Yeah.
Percentage-wise in this county, because I hear about rural all the time. Mm-hmm. Where are we?
We're getting better, and infrastructure is improving, but massive investments still need to be made. It's a little bit better around in an area like this, in Chestertown, but if we're talking a larger conversation about all of the Eastern Shore, which you've experienced today, there are still way too many people that have to drive to a Starbucks over in Wicomico County to get Wi-Fi because they can't hold a Zoom meeting in the Wi-Fi that is available to them in their homes.
Wow, Zoom needs video,
right?
So that really... Yeah. That makes you prehistoric if you can't take a Zoom meeting, right?
Yeah.
I had this happen today. I pulled over in Centerville. I was afraid I would not have... I did a live shot with Dennis, and I had to... It's one of the reasons I was late. Mm-hmm. I literally had to pull over, and because I thought in my mind, you're an idiot if you're driving down that road thinking you're going to get Wi-Fi. Like, if you really need Wi-Fi... Mm-hmm. And I'm right. I wouldn't have had it in certain places.
It can be in certain places, yeah. It's touch and go. And sometimes it doesn't even make sense. Like, I finally have really good Wi-Fi at my farm because there was a big 5G line laid along the highway there.
Thank you, wife.
Working towards getting... more connectivity in the area, but we had to pay to then that last mile connection into the farm. But even with that connection at my farm, at the end of my driveway, you can't get a signal.
Okay, so let's talk about red and blue then. We can bring this in because you're running for office. This is one of the things in D.C. that most of the country is underrepresented in that way. I mean, I've flown across this country. I've drove across. We're spoiled in Baltimore and New York. We're spoiled in the metropolitan drive in D.C. to Boston, where there's humans. And then you just drive right over the bridge, and you don't have Wi-Fi all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. And could you live in a place without Wi-Fi if you're from where I'm from? I guess if I wanted to slow my life down, I could. Mm-hmm. It would feel to me in D.C., this would be something that everyone in Idaho and Kansas would agree that they would want to send their representatives to D.C. to say, cut the crap, Verizon, straight on down the list. We're going to federally... This is for our children. This is for education. This is for children that aren't born yet who aren't going to ever have a textbook. Tell me about that part of it for how people in this restaurant would feel about that if they don't have Wi-Fi. Because my experience has been there's a certain amount of people that just still have a flip phone and they don't know what they don't know, and they... Older folks think differently about it than younger folks.
I haven't been anywhere on the Eastern Shore where this isn't an issue. That's why I wrote an editorial that the Baltimore Sun ran back in March laying out proposals for using the what I was hoping would be momentum towards infrastructure proposals at the federal level to tag team with state investments because the
state... Is that Pete Buttigieg? Is it when we see infrastructure, I'm always thinking roads and trains and all that. Is this considered... infrastructure when we say infrastructure?
Well, it's considered infrastructure. Broadband itself would be a little bit more under like commerce and energy departments, but
we're here to learn.
the infrastructure package that is coming through, though, I have to give props to one of the big leaders on this at the federal level, Jim Clyburn, also a longtime African-American member of Congress.
Helped get a guy elected, from what I remember.
Yeah, he did, from South Carolina. He's made this his key signature issue, and he has a really amazing proposal that I'm squarely behind in saying that we need to advance. And he's been working with, as you say, legislators from rural states all across the country, or rural areas within mixed states.
This seems to be to like advance. One of these issues like weed that if everybody, you know, it's both aisles.
It's coming.
I think so guns should be that way, but it's
there's,
not. But
there's money in the bipartisan infrastructure package, which I can't talk about that without also noting that the current congressman who represents this area, Andy Harris, voted against the infrastructure
Please
packages.
Do. I mean, we're talking about representation.
He also failed to put in one request for any road, bridge, transit need, no infrastructure request at all for our district. And meanwhile, you know, there were 20-some projects, $130 million of very specific projects throughout the state of Maryland that the legislators in the other districts were able to advocate. We need someone in the Congress that not only understands our needs, but is willing to do the work to make sure that we bring back to our district the targeted investments to address our crumbling infrastructure and infrastructure in every way that it can be considered. Yes, broadband is infrastructure. And as the
education.
Biden administration, yes,
it's
the
education.
Biden administration is talking about human infrastructure now, that we also have to make sure we're making smart investments in healthcare and education and workers' wages. Like it's a whole package.
Before I go completely in segment two, we're going to have a crab cake with Chris Golder. Heather Mazier is here. She's running for office. You can go look it up. We're in Chestertown at 98 Cannon. On the Crab Cake Tour, you can find it at hashtag Crab Cake Tour if you want the crab cakes. All of it is at BaltimorePositive.com and YouTube and Instagram and anywhere else I can snap a picture. And I need Wi-Fi to get all that up. So I'm glad you're working on it. Last sort of, you know, really sensitive local issue, and it speaks to crabs, grass, oysters, home, value, Ocean City. There's never a time in Ocean City where I think, well, they've never really taken a hit. Talk about South Carolina. I think about Charleston. My mother's from down there. Hurricane hit. What would happen? Mm. You always think these places are going to get wiped out by a hurricane. No. It's probably just going to be like glaciers melting that take some time to get here. My understanding is there's some real concerns along this waterway. But let's be honest. There's going to be concerns along every waterway on Earth.
Yeah.
And we have more water than anyone that Martin O'Malley liked to brag about. Maybe Larry Hogan wants to hide from a little bit. But this is going to be important to all these folks who voted in a different way, you know, along all this time when the water rises. And it's happening. No doubt about it.
You can't live in a district as gorgeous and beautiful as ours with all these thousands of miles of waterways and all the tributaries, the
delicious
rivers,
crabs.
Delicious crabs in our crown jewel, the Chesapeake Bay, and not take the climate crisis seriously, not have a deeper understanding of the environmental impacts that rising tides are not only threatening our ecosystems, they're threatening our economy and our way of life. We have had reports that some areas of the first congressional district over in Dorchester and Caroline counties might be some of the first climate refugee communities in the country because of the saltwater intrusion and the rising tide levels and the way that you know, saltwater doesn't allow for crops to grow. You don't want this water to be in your agricultural waterlands. And as the tides rise and the aquifers are unbalanced by the ways that our ecosystems are being thrown off, it's creating havoc everywhere that's impacting our livelihoods as well as our homes, our home values, and
well, Heather, I live at the harbor. I see the algae bloom when it happens on a 112-degree day, right? Mm-hmm. And you just smell the dead fish. And
right.
You know, this, we can't have this.
Well, this is why.
This isn't working.
I'm an environmental activist, and I'm also a farmer. I'm five generations of farmers in my family, corn, soy, and wheat. I think that there is a way to bridge the dialogue between how to approach policy at the federal level through the farm bills that will acknowledge the climate crisis, but incentivize farming practices that will be in partnership with it. carbon sequestration in the soils, more organic practices. Josh Hastings,
better food.
Josh Hastings' family. He's a Wicomico County Councilman over, and his family was one of the first organic farms in the country. We know how to lead on these things in Maryland. But we also need representation that takes these issues seriously. I have a lifetime score with the League of Conservation Voters for the 8 years I was in the legislature of 98%. I am squarely on the side of understanding the importance of being in partnership with our resources. Andy Harris, on the other hand, has a lifetime score of 3% and has consistently rated as low as zero. We can't have that kind of representation here any longer.
People have asked me if I would have him on the show on an equal time basis. I can't even imagine arguing with denying science when you're a doc. I can't get my arms around it. My feelings about it are pretty outspoken on it. But endorsing you is one thing, or discussing this side of it versus the other side, that it's just not factual. Now, you know, I'm a journalist. If your basis is something that I'm calling BS on from the beginning, it becomes very hard to have a dialogue, I think, with someone that just doesn't care, or someone that is willful ignorance.
Here's where I'm going to surprise you with my answer to that.
Sure.
I actually would encourage you to, because the other piece to my style of politics is, let's talk to everyone. Let's not have anyone off limits. Let's be curious about, you know, why are you denying science, and work on having breakthroughs. I actually did a podcast myself with Andy Harris.
I know. You told me a little bit about this. Let's do this. Let's take a break. We'll come back, and we'll begin with that, and you can openly campaign in the next segment if you haven't started already. Heather Mazier is here. We're at 98 Cannon. My dear friend Chris Golder is here. I just want to give love to Dennis Colazos, who brought this blue truck, and Scout's honor. She's an honest politician.
There was a man on a scooter that stopped to check the vehicle out from head to toe. We couldn't quite snap a picture in time before he jumped back on it.
20 of them over the weekend, because in Ocean City, it was just like, it was crazy, you know? Like, so thank you, Dennis. I'm bringing it back. How many miles is it to Baltimore from here?
Well, as the crow flies, which direction are you
driving?
Going north?
I'm not boating.
77 miles.
I have 77 miles to get it back to you, Dennis. I'm driving like this. I'm like, they're all looking at it. I'm like, don't veer over a little bit too much. I stopped at Royal Farm. They have beer and wine. I like beer and wine. And they have that at Royal Farm on the Eastern Shore. So big appreciate. And Chicken Palooza. I mean, I'm doing these crab cakes. I don't want to be disrespectful to the chicken. And I had some people on the Eastern Shore saying, we do Eastern Shore chicken. You know, and I'm like, well, you have Rufo the whole way. And it's pretty busy in there. And our friends at Wise, who fed me this morning. I went in looking for my favorite thing in life, gold watermelon. And didn't have any this morning. But I found one at a roadside stand, which is a great way to do it in Eastern Shore. An 80-year-old man with these hands that had been, you talk about your family and a farm. I drove past the watermelon farm, and they had one that looked like a cucumber big, and then they had the normal ones, and they had fatter ones. And I went up, and I said, look, I'm not a farmer. I mean, look at me. Do I look like a farmer? And I said, pick me out two of the most beautiful gold watermelons. And this man got up, he came over, and he beat on about a dozen of them. And he only gave me the ones that were acceptable. Mm-hmm. So Dennis is going to be very, very happy this weekend when I get back from the Eastern Shore. So thanks, Dennis. Heather Mazier is here. I'm Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570. We're doing a crab cake tour. The hashtag is hashtag crab cake tour. You remember that? Crab cake tour. That's the hashtag. Good. We're back for more with Heather Mazier. We're at 98 Cannon. We're in Chestertown for the first time in my life. I better duck when I say that. There's locals here. Back for more on WNST right after this.